This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and across America. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell. This is the first of a two-part interview featuring Jim Engel and Clint Nagel. Jim Engel represents a Gallatin-based grassroots organization called Montanans for Wildlife and Wilderness. The group advocates for local wilderness protections, particularly focused on the Highlight Porcupine Buffalo Horn Wilderness Study Area. Jim was previously a professor of literature at Harvard University, where he incorporated environmental issues into his coursework. He also co-edited and conceptualized the book titled Environment, an Interdisciplinary Anthology. Clint Nagel is the president of the Gallatin Wildlife Association, who previously worked for the Water Resources Division of the U.S. Geological Survey. Since retirement, Clint has volunteered his time to a variety of grassroots conservation groups. Jim, Clint, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Could you each tell me a bit about your background, just to get us started?
Well, I want to say first, it's a pleasure to be on here with Clint. My background is that I taught for about 45 years at Harvard University, and my main area was literature. But anybody who knows the history of literature knows that it's often been involved with environmental issues and conservation. You just look at somebody like Henry David Thoreau or Rachel Carson or John Muir, many figures who were very strong in literary expression, and they also had a deep concern for the environment. So while I taught literature, I also taught in environmental subjects, often with those authors and many others. And I taught a course on climate change with a scientist, Jim Anderson, who empirically verified the existence of the ozone hole. And I also taught a course with an economist that stressed some environmental aspects of economics. So that's really my background as a teacher and how I come to conservation issues, in part informed by that kind of reading and my association with scientists and economists.
Clint, you've appeared on the program before, so many of our listeners are probably familiar, but would you mind reminding us about your background before you came to be president of the GWA?
Sure. Career-wise, I began my career with the U.S. Geological Survey. At the time I started, it was known as the Water Resources Division. Over time, with basically reorganization, as a lot of federal agencies go through from time to time, they changed the name to Water Science Centers. And so I have about 31 years of full service in with the USGS and two additional years in as a part-time and volunteer service with the U.S. Geological Survey. And I retired in 2009, was my original or full retirement. And 2011, I moved to Bozeman and Montana, and then I became involved with the Gallatin Wildlife Association probably around 2013 or so, and got on the board around 2015, 2016, and became president of the organization in December of 2019, and I've been president since.
Well, I appreciate both of you guys' long dedication to environmental issues. On to the topic of today, could you just tell me, what is Montanans for Wildlife and Wilderness?
Well, Ben, it's a true grassroots organization. I mean, it basically started out with people emailing one another and occasionally talking on the phone and discovering that they had a common interest in protecting wildlife and protecting wilderness, particularly in the Gallatin Range and in the wilderness study area that is part of the Gallatin Range, which is the Highlight Porcupine Buffalo Horn Wilderness Study Area. So that's how that organization got started. It's not large, but it has a number of people who have a lot of experience in this area, many of them far more than I do, decades of experience. And people got together by email and then by meeting in the Bozeman Public Library and on Zoom. And over a period of months, I would say approximately the last, oh, 11 or 12 months, the organization has grown some and focused itself. And it is dedicated to preserving as much wilderness and wilderness study areas as are possible, and in doing so, to protect the unique wildlife we have as much as possible.
Perfect. Jim, how did you come to the organization and what role do you currently play in it?
Well, I guess I came to it the way most other people did, meaning I emailed people and I talked with them and we decided it would be good to meet, and then we decided we agreed on certain things. And I have occasionally convened meetings and have suggested things. But, we have a lot of active people in the group. We have a new website up, and we had a committee that directed that. We have a newspaper announcement which will be coming out soon, and another group was involved with that. So it's a kind of organic group. We don't have a formal structure as such. We will probably develop more of one now, but it's a community more than it is in some ways an official organization. But it's a community of concern, and it is truly grassroots. I spent most of my life living in the East, in Massachusetts, where I taught. But when I was a little boy, I lived in Kansas for a while, and I remember first seeing the Rocky Mountains when I was about age 7. And then I came to work on the western slope of Colorado in the summer of 1970. And in 1972, I came up and saw the Gallatins, which I will not forget. And then a little later, Glacier and the Glacier area. And then my son moved here to study at MSU, got married here, and he and his family live here, and my wife and I now live here and have for several years. So I don't have anywhere near the length of time that some of the members of GWA and M4WW have, but my impressions of this area and my love for it go back all the way into my early 20s. And then they've been deeply strengthened in the last 15 years because of my son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren. And it's why my wife and I decided to move here and did so several years ago. This place has my heart, even though I did not grow up in it and live in it the way a lot of people in these two organizations have. I've learned a great deal from them.
Clint, coming from a position of being in governance of another NGO, how are you and the Gallatin Wildlife Association involved in Montana's For Wildlife and Wilderness?
Well, GWA, I go by the acronym because it just kind of flows off the tongue, so to speak. But GWA has been involved in the issue of wilderness in the Gallatin Range pretty much ever since our inception, and that was back in 1976. And so we've been around for a long time, and one of the more frustrating aspects of not just our organization, but of being involved on this issue is we still have not arrived at full wilderness designation for the Highlight Porcupine Buffalo Horn Wilderness Study Area. We've been involved in working with other NGOs, and actually, Jim was right when he on his dates because it was about December of 2024 when I think that's actually kind of how Jim and I met was. Either I was talking to him or he was talking to me about a recent op-ed that one of us had done, and we were basically thanking each other for the work that we were doing. And over a period of just a few weeks, in December and in going into January, I was involved in two different groups, communication over the very same issue of wilderness in the Gallatin Range. And I suggested, and it just made sense to me that we merged these two groups together. The one group that I was working in primarily was GWA and our board, Science Advisory Board, a few other key members of our organization. And so I decided to merge the two together. Basically, at that time, it was just a more on a email type of basis. But then we met the first time in the library, a group of us. We had one of the more interesting discussions I think I've been a part of. And it was good to see everybody coming together and in unification and deciding we are all on the same page. And that was a gratifying thing to see. And so we just kind of stuck together and to where we are today.
Thanks.
Well, that's right. As I said, it grew organically. And I remember meeting at the Museum of the Rockies, some events held there, and that was in part, I think, sponsored by GWA and also by maybe the Alliance for the Wild Rockies. At any rate, that's where I met a lot of people. And I think I talked with Clint there too. So there was in-person contact as well as on email and phone and other things.
I forgot about that, but you're probably right. There's been a lot of connectivity between the two of us.
Nice. Well, the name, in terms of ideals, is somewhat self-explanatory. Montana's for wildlife and wilderness, and you both have touched on it, getting into the community surround united by common goals in the protection of the wilderness study areas. But I'm curious, just to throw the question at you, what would you say unites the people that make up Montana's for wildlife and wilderness?
First of all, preservation of wilderness. Wilderness is really the gold standard for the preservation for wildlife. And it's been something that has been on the national radar for many, many decades, but particularly since the Wilderness Act of 1964. And then in 1977, in Montana, a number of wilderness study areas were created. And these wilderness study areas are to be treated as wilderness. And they're to be treated exactly as wilderness under the 1964 Act until Congress decides otherwise. So, in essence, they have permanent protection unless that protection is actually taken away by congressional action in some manner. So, it's a little hard to understand, but the wilderness study areas are in effect as permanently protected as actual wilderness because Congress has to change the designation in order for that protection to go away. So, what unites the people? I think a desire to preserve wilderness and a desire to protect wildlife, which is under increasing threats. It's under threats to some degree, of course, from climate change. It's under threats from invasive species. It's under threats from increased human presence, especially mechanized human presence. It's under threat from lack of enforcement of wilderness regulations. So wildlife has also seen its corridors of migration and connectivity cut into in various ways over the decades. And that reduces the habitat and the range. It makes it more difficult for wildlife to survive during tough times and to breed and to keep up genetic diversity by having large enough areas in which to live. The people who belong to Montanans for Wildlife and Wilderness are united in all those things, and they're united in a love too for the Gallatin Range, particularly. In other words, our focus currently is very much on the Gallatin Range, and on the wilderness study areas and wilderness in the Gallatin Range, which includes the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, of course. Because, I mean, we draw as humans boundaries and lines on a map all the time, but wildlife doesn't really know those very well. They may get accustomed to a certain park boundary or something else, but in general, their lives are not conscious of these human boundaries. And so we have to consider the greater Yellowstone ecosystem as a whole. And if you look at the history of it, there's been a lot of development in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, a lot of population pressures, not just, say, the increasing size of a city like Bozeman or growth in Paradise Valley, but the huge development west of the Gallatin River in Big Sky, which started, 50 years ago and has completely transformed that area, which, is part of the greater Yellowstone ecosystem and used to see a lot of wildlife migration and connectivity, and now sees far, far less than it once did. So I think that what unites us is concern that it is time not to continue to compromise on wilderness and wildlife, but to draw a very clear line and say, we need to preserve what we have in terms of wilderness, and we need to do what we can in order to protect wildlife. And that any more human encroachment of a new and different kind is not welcome. We've got something absolutely unique here in the lower 48. And if you lose it, it's gone forever. It really is. So we are trying to make sure that it is preserved.
Can I add to that, Ben?
Absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, what Jim said is correct. This is a definitely a grassroots organization. GWA is as well. But what I think how, in the beginning, how this came to be was that, there has been attempts over the recent decade, maybe a little bit longer than that, to take the wilderness study area as is and kind of divide it up, if you will. And there that obviously raised the concern of many many people, NGOs as well as individuals, and a lot of the I just counted today that about half of the membership of the M4WW is basically made up of GWA members. I didn't know that until today when the issue came up. But a lot of the non-members of GWA in the group are basically rogue. I shouldn't say that, scratch that. But they're independent thinking conservationists, and they are extremely dedicated, extremely passionate, and they have worked with other NGOs over, geez, the history of just about going back many, many decades, and in protection of the wilderness study area in the Gallatin Range, but there is also an organization which we haven't touched on yet, and they call themselves the Gallatin Forest Partnership, and they wanted to basically take parcels, large parcels of the landscape, about 40% of the WSA, and turn it into something other than wilderness, and that really raised the concern level of I think a lot of the community, and that's where kind of how we began is because both M4WW and GWA had that same concern, just kind of merged together. It just made sense. But it was kind of what united us was the fear of losing the wilderness study area, because there was and is a real fear that that may happen. And so When we first couple of meetings when we came together, we actually had a nice discussion over about what do we want to see, or I should say, how do we want to see the future of the WSA play out? And the first thing that we all agreed upon rather quickly was we wanted to see the wilderness study area stay intact. That's the least acceptable option that I think all of us are willing to accept. Nothing less than that. And of course, there are, like I said, other individuals and others, some even green organizations that want different than that. And so there is a real heated, I'll say, a heated exchange or heated battle here in the Gallatin Valley area over the future of the Wilderness Study Area. I guess what brings us together is the fear of losing what we love the most. Would you agree with that,
Totally.
Jim?
Well, certainly, that's exactly right. And that's why I said that compromises have been made in the past about development. And at a certain point, you think that compromises should come to an end. If you start taking away parts of wilderness for whatever reason, you are also taking away certain areas of refuge and connectivity from wildlife. And that eventually becomes a problem because the stresses on wildlife are only going to grow, not diminish. There are stresses from recreation, there are stresses from human presence, there are stresses from invasive species, there are stresses from climate change. So it's very important to try to hold a line. Now, my view is that when conservation and environmental organizations differ, and Montanans for Wildlife and Wilderness and the Gallatin Wildlife Association certainly differs in their combined view with some of the other environmental and conservation organizations. But I think it's also important to say that we do agree about a lot else, too. So when there was a proposed gold mine just north of Yellowstone National Park, I think that united completely a lot of the conservation and environmental organizations. They thought that was a bad idea. And the Greater Yellowstone Coalition led the charge to try to prevent that by acquiring that land, which they did, which was a very, very fine idea. So occasionally, of course, conservation and environmental organizations discover that they don't agree on something. And I think Clint expressed pretty well that with regard to the Gallatin Range and the current wilderness study area, there is a disagreement. And Montanans for Wilderness and for Wildlife and Wilderness and the GWA are, I think, very much so in unison. I mean, one of the reasons that the wilderness study area we believe should remain intact and not be reduced is that when you start reducing certain areas, you are taking away what is essentially a kind of tenderloin of lower altitude areas which wildlife use in migration. In connectivity. And when you increase human presence there, especially if it's in any way mechanized or increases use of motorized equipment and the like, you're going to create greater disturbance. It's said, I believe it's true, that once wolves were reintroduced in the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem in the 1990s, it became the only area in the lower 48 states that essentially had the same kind of biodiversity that it had in 1492, prior to European settlement of North America. That's how unique it is. There's no other area like it in that regard in the United States, I think, except in Alaska, which also is facing increasing pressures. So this is what unites the Montanans for wildlife and wilderness, and certainly in alliance with the Gallatin Wildlife Association. And it has to do with the Gallatin Range and with the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. It's a gem. It's an absolutely unique place in the United States.
Really well said. I have a few follow-up questions. Firstly, to the point of disagreement amongst even green organizations and differing priorities for the Gallatin Range, I'm curious, what are the organization's concerns, both of these organizations' concerns, with the Greater Yellowstone Conservation and Recreation Act?
I think to some degree you've already expressed those concerns, Ben. The Greater Yellowstone Conservation Recreation Act wants to protect some new areas as wilderness and Cowboy Heaven, and I think the Sawtooth Mountain area, but it also wants to reduce wilderness protection in the wilderness study area by removing approximately 40% of it from wilderness protection. I mean, it depends on whose maps you look at, but it's approximately 40%. And we think that's not a good idea, to put it simply, and that there are other aspects of that proposed legislation, adding wilderness in Cowboy Heaven and in that, I think it's in the Sawtooth Mountain area. That would be a good idea, I think. But the trade-off, I don't think, is worth it. And so it's a proposed act. It's proposed legislation. It doesn't have a congressional sponsor yet. I don't know if it will get one or not. So it's called an act, but it hasn't been passed into law, certainly yet. And whenever anything goes into Congress, it usually doesn't come out the way it went in. There are usually additional compromises made and additional riders or things added to it. If you know the history of any environmental legislation, that's usually the case. And sometimes things that are good get added in, but quite often things that aren't so good get added in as well. We think that the reduction of wilderness protection for the wilderness study area, and particularly taking that 40% out, particularly in the southwestern area of the wilderness study area, but everywhere really, is not necessary. There's no biological reason to do it whatsoever. There's no reason to do it to protect wildlife. And in fact, we are of the belief that it is done, that if it is done, it will make life for wildlife harder, which is the last thing that should be done now.
This has been the first of a two-part episode featuring Jim Engel and Clint Nagel. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. More information about the association and its activities can be found on its website, www.gallatinwildlife.org. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or to buzzsprout.com and scroll down to Wilderness and Wildlife. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell.